I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
One, two!
We are here to answer all the important questions from Manchester City's 3-3 draw at Real Madrid. Did City control enough of the game for that to be more evidence of the fabled click? Despite saying in the build-up that I'd take a narrow defeat, am I right to be a bit disappointed with the draw? And does Danny Carvajal really have no neck? This is Let Me Talk. We'll find out the answers to all of those shortly. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent, Sam Lee. Hello.
All right.
How do?
Good. Yeah, good. You know when we talked about this, I was like, this is going to be more like the games 2 years ago than last season, because I don't feel like City can control the game as well. You know, it could be more chaos. But despite that, I was telling every bugger who'd listened for the last 2 days that it was going to be rubbish and really tight. And then, lo and behold, it was really open. It was great. I mean, and ultimately, it doesn't matter, does it? It might as well have been 0-0, because those away goals don't count for any extra. It's just a nice game. It's just like a nice bonus game that we can talk about.
Yeah,
knowing that the real quiz is next week now. I can't imagine winning. Imagine having won and knowing that a draw next week will do. Because if we're going to throw ahead briefly to next week, I can just see it being exactly the same as last night. I can see it being the same as 2 years ago. I can see it being the same as the Spurs game, and it's going to go right until the end. And I think it's going to come down to whoever does like something mad or genius, the latest. I think it'll be that close.
Well, do you want mad or genius? Because if you do, just to kind of look at the quality of the goals from the game, the total XG from the game, have you seen it for both teams? It's incredible.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Real Madrid's 0.63, City's 0.83. It's like, and they've scored three each.
Yeah. Even Guardiola's, like, it's... Like the ball was superbly well struck, but it's not an aesthetically pleasing swing, is it? Like, you can tell it's his weak foot. Well, I mean, you know, obviously fair play for it to come off that way and fly like it did. You know, it wasn't an ugly strike. The ball flight was good, but the way he hit it is like, oh yeah, you can tell that's not the foot you use. Foden's goal, fucking unbelievable. And then, you know, Madrid's third, that was great. But the other two. Because you can look at conceding goals in bunches like they used to do, and two open, and all this stuff's true. It's like two horrible deflections.
Yeah,
horrible deflections.
I'm not really sure what more you can do about them. Just it's football, isn't it? Sometimes that's kind of what happens.
Particularly the first one, because look, there wasn't an awful lot City done wrong there. Rodri given the ball away, but probably about a minute before it happened, they must have made about 20 passes after that. And you know, it wasn't the first time Rodri given the ball away, even in like 10, 11 minutes at the start. Kovacic kind of tried to press over down City's left, and Madrid kind of squeaked the ball into the space behind him. Then they switched it, and then they came back. But even then, you know, Camavinga drops a shoulder on Grealish a bit, gets a bit of space, but it's pretty nitpicky, really. The deflection's just horrible. But then what can you do about the other one? It's Madrid attack too quickly. That was an issue all night, wasn't it? I say attack too quickly. Too quickly for City to deal with. It was after City had got forward really well. Ironically, with, you know, Grealish slows everything down, brings the lines closer together. It was his cross into the box, pretty poor one. And then you had City players in the box. You had City players on the halfway line. That's a big, big space. They rolled it out, got it into... Oh, God, who did they get it out to? Vinicius, who had Stones jumping up on his back. So he was dragged miles out. And then the ball in behind Akanji. Because, look, Akanji was the best bet to have in that right-back area, wasn't he? Like, Guardiola being fit solved a bit of a problem because it would have had to be Lewis at left-back, I think, just to keep Akanji there. That seemed like the best solution. But Madrid were like, well, you're not Kyle Walker, mate. We're going behind you. And so, yeah, this obviously, you can't do much about the deflection either, but there was plenty leading up to it. You know, City were too stretched out. They couldn't get there in time. And, you know, those kind of things, they were evident for the third goal as well.
Yeah.
I know we're jumping ahead quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the overall situation because I want to hear from Guardiola shortly because I thought his press conference was quite interesting. But first, if last season was a little bit rope-a-dope in that, you know, City was staying in the game, there was a kind of a hint of lulling Madrid into City then turning it on at the Etihad, what was last night?
It was, so I'm glad you used the boxing analogy, actually, because the phrase that came to mind afterwards was that Mike Tyson thing of everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And the implication is you get punched in the face and everything goes out the window. It's like, oh, shit. And then you just, yeah, that's it. So City had a plan. They got punched in the face and then they went, and, you know, maybe they wobbled a bit, but then they went, okay, here's a few more punches. And again, you know, Guardiola gave a really good answer to that in the press conference. He said, you know, in our first 1, 2, 3 years together, we'd have lost this game 4-5-1. And that is genuinely, like, before he was speaking, that was what I took from it. You know, I was speaking to a journalist afterwards. He was like, well, go on then, what do you make of that? And I was like, to be fair, like, considering they do want control and they do want the game to be how it was for 30 minutes of the second half, and it wasn't like that, and it was the Bernabeu, I think, like, fair play for establishing a bit of control, first of all, in the second half, and just for being able to, you know, to be 2-1 down and then go 3-2 up with two great goals. As a result of, you know, they were great goals, but they weren't just like, oh, they've had a quick break forward or a bit of luck. You know, they were proper City moves. You know, before Guardiola's, Grealish was, you know, they got into a position where Grealish had cut in down the left and he was, you know, like crouching down, shimmying side to side, lay it back. Obviously, Foden's one, they got it out to Bernardo on the right. He got it up to Stones, who was much higher. He just then set it back. And, you know, this was because City were playing well. And then, I suppose this is taking more from Guardiola, but I suppose it reminds me of what I was saying 2 years ago. Like, it's Real Madrid. You know, after the two Rodrigo goals 2 years ago, it's Real Madrid. What do you expect? Like, it's going to happen. And that was pretty much the theme of Guardiola's press conference as well. So I thought, despite all those setbacks, I thought City did do, like, really well, did show a lot of personality. But, you know, they did show weaknesses where, you know, if they happen next week, they might go out, City. Like, it could happen again. Like I say, I think it's good. Did I say when the draw was made? Like, I can just see it, like, coming down to, like, someone might hit the crossbar in the last minute. It's going to be dramatic all the way through. Somebody might score in the last minute. That might be the goal that settles it. And, you know, if City don't sort out some of those issues,
it could be that Madrid,
could still
that
be a problem.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you throw in the Etihad factor, then it should be determining for City. But I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm thinking more of the Spurs game than I am the Madrid game 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, I was
because obviously they were much better than Madrid, weren't they? But it should never have even been 4-3. City should have been out of sight. But I don't know, it just feels like, you know, City could have a good start, but then if Madrid keep counter-punching again, then it could just descend into absolutely anything.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of what the Madrid version of Let Me Talk could be saying at this stage, because the idea that, I mean, this is the Bernabeu and these things happen. I'm wondering how much Madrid will be looking at, like, last season and the recent visits to the Etihad and be feeling, well, this is the Etihad, these things happen. It's like we're talking about that Spurs game. Like, that is a long time ago now.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That. So, I mean, again, there was the element of, oh, he's no, City, I say he, because people normally say it's Guardiola, he's conceded 2 goals in 2 minutes, like, this keeps happening. And again, fair enough, like, it did happen. But again, that kind of goes to show how good it is that they managed to recover from that. Yeah, they are different. They are different to that Spurs team. Obviously, that's kind of the point I'm making early on in terms of, you know, and the point Guardiola made in terms of City would have lost 4 or 5-1. They are, definitely. But also they're not... maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do what they did last season. But they're not at last season's level either. Like I say, I just don't think that back door is going to be kept shut enough. I don't think... Because, it wasn't so much about City having to defend well last season, was it? Like, Walker obviously had that one where he got back with Vinicius, muscled him off it, and then Edison picked it up and they turned around and attacked again. It's about sustaining attacks. Mm. And, you know, if I mentioned the third goal and getting ahead of ourselves again. Like, this was just from a goal kick. It was from an Ortega long goal kick. Which, so, we'll get to Haaland. But the first two goal kicks they sent long in the second half, Haaland was better at least. Rudiger gave away a throw-in from one and then he conceded a free kick from the other. So City still had the ball, which, considering Madrid were pressing City basically all the way up the pitch, there wasn't much they could do to play through. It was a great and useful option to have to play over that pressure and then, you know, either get a throw-in or a free kick in their half. Perfect. But then they stopped aiming towards him altogether, which I thought was unusual. They were going more towards the wings. But then I think this one kind of went towards Kovacic. Now, Kovacic challenging for it in the air is not great. So it was a bit like that Red Star goal. Someone loses the header. It falls to someone else's feet. And like Bernardo wasn't quite on the scene. Which again reminds me of a chance that Mikel Antonio had at West Ham at the start of the season. You know, when we first started saying, where are they on the second ball here? What's going on? And then as soon as it got past Bernardo, they shifted it to the left and then the cross came in and the volley was fired off. So, you know, there's things like that. So in terms of sustaining the attacks, in terms of, well, you know, maybe with the second goal, you know, maybe Grealish just crossed it too soon. Mm. But yeah, I don't know, maybe just the reaction wasn't right on... after the goalkeeper ended up with the ball in his hands, you know, the players were too spread out or whatever it may be. But again, it's that thing, isn't it? Funnily enough, it goes back to the other 3-all draw against Newcastle last season. When it's, if you don't finish the actions, they're going to run. And when you run, the only thing you can do is defend with Edison, which is what Pep was saying. And it was that kind of thing. Like, yeah. If that ball does, you know, if you're not going to score and it doesn't go out for a corner or a goal kick, you got problems. It was like having a corner against Liverpool. Like, what's the point? Like, most of the time you have a corner against Liverpool, they just end up attacking you anyway. Like when City went to when he went to Anfield, they kept like 4 or 5 players like on a ring on the edge of the box just so that wouldn't happen. But obviously it diminishes your own threat. Fair enough. City's goal was from a corner. But that, you know, that City had to make allowances for that. And again, like I tweeted during the game, I was like, fucking hell, like City. Because before half-time, City had started stringing more moves together. And then every time they'd attack and lose the ball, Madrid would be straight down the other end. You'd think, what can you do? What can you do in this situation? But again, it was like Guardiola was saying that as well. Like, you know, he was saying, it was in Spanish, so I need to try and remember it better. But he was saying, like the more you play well, the more they're still going to attack. Like, it's almost like it doesn't matter what you do. They are still going to do that regardless. Like, you can play as well as you want. They're still going to run. And we know, you know, when he talks about when the opposition can run, he worries about it when it's United, he worries about when it's Spurs, he worries about when it's Liverpool, Chelsea. Those teams are varying degrees of quality. But that felt on the counter-attack. And Madrid last night, they were kind of unstoppable in that sense. But again, like, you know, we talk about the other teams are good when it's Southampton, when it's West Ham, when it's, I mean, who did City play the other week? Like Villa with loads of changes playing through the pressure. Like, the other teams are good. When it's Real Madrid, when, I know they had injuries in defence, but when it's Real Madrid and they're playing like the best midfielders, the best strikers, like, what do you expect? And so, in terms of your very first question, in terms of being disappointed, I think you'd be disappointed to maybe be winning and not get the win. And you'd be disappointed with some of the mistakes and just like how easily they gave the ball away. And even like, because Guardiola mentioned, you know, okay, 10 minutes to go, 3-2 up, it's over. He said, like, it's not over. Like, it's almost like he suggesting his players thought, you know, they'd done the hard work, which would be unlike them. But if so, then that is disappointing as well. But this is, you know, this is why there's room for podcasts to discuss it. Because when I was asked by the other journalist, you know, what do you think of that? I think it's because he was looking for like a neat like package of like, oh yeah, well that was good, or well that was shit. So well, some of it wasn't great, some of it was brilliant, and you know, sometimes that's football. Yeah. But I mean, look, it didn't like say might as well have been 0-0. It was just a fun game to analyse. I suppose now we can say, oh, okay, well let's just enjoy this or talk about this. But next week, we could easily be coming back saying, yeah, we probably should have been a bit more worried than that. And we were.
Coming up after a short ad break, there'll be more discussion about that 3-3 draw at Real Madrid, and we'll be talking about how well or not City controlled the game.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
I want to play some of Guardiola's press conference because he was interesting. So this is the start of the press conference. This is how he analysed the game.
I think it was really good, entertaining game. Dignify this competition to teams that they want to attack and attack in different ways, but they want to attack both teams. And the quality of the players for the fantastic goals from all three, fantastic for Valverde as well. And after, we were a little bit unfortunate for deflection, but it's football, it's happened. So what I like the most, the fact how we played the second half as a 2-0 down in the halftime, playing here without not much composure or what really you have to do. The transition, they are so dangerous and they can score more goals, and we control the game really well. And it was Madrid. So Bernabeu is special. We leave this kind of situation many times. You go 2-3, okay, 10 minutes left, the game is over. He is never over. So, but we take the result. 1 week in Manchester, our people will be sold out. They will help us to score one goal. We will do the rest, and we'll try again to, you know, to reach semifinal. It's simple. The team who wins will reach semifinal.
Hi, Pep. Given you were 3-2 ahead with about 20 minutes to go, do you see it as a missed opportunity, or are you satisfied with
it's
the draw?
It's fine. It's Bernabeu, my friend. You are from England. You don't know what does it means playing Bernabeu, and in Champions League, take the result. And the way we played, especially the way we played. First half, players like have the composure to so safe with the ball, to don't lose the ball. We lost more than usual against Madrid. It's so difficult because they have not just legs, they have the quality to make this transition effectively. But in the second half, we play with incredible personality. We try to, you know, to score goals. We did it. I cannot say more. Score 3 goals in the Bernabeu is really, really good.
What was the most impressive thing about the reaction? Because that's the sort of being 2-1 down at half time and the way you played in the first half, seemed like the team showed a hell of a lot of courage to like pick themselves back up and then control the game in the second.
I had the feeling it's a process. So this result of this game in the first one season, two seasons, three seasons together, we have lost 4-1, 5-1. We are not stable emotionally. These games is one of the key points, is be stable emotionally. It's fundamental. The good moments, take it. The bad moments, be as much as stable. I said in with the players, so if you pretend coming to Bernabeu, play against Real Madrid in Champions League, his competition, and the idea, the game is going to happen, it's going to happen during 90 minutes, you are wrong. So we have an idea because we believe in the way you have to do it, but it's impossible control all the time against Madrid. And how you are stable or, you know, stick with the plan in the bad moment, that's the key point. In the first seasons, could not happen. We are not good because, as I said many times, we are one decade, 12 years, 30 years playing this competition at high level. So you need time to learn. We're learning, and now we are a little bit more stable. And this is hopefully in the future we can do better and better.
There we go. Basically running through the points that we talked about so far, Sam. It's weird because I started the show by saying, am I right to feel a little disappointed? And in the context of City leading twice, Madrid only getting ahead because of a couple of deflections, City, I mean, and Spells pretty good in controlling the game, even with one or two breakaways. Letting the lead slip late on, that sort of thing. But then when I listened to how he spoke about it afterwards, it was weird, this sense of calm just came over me. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, well, that always helps. But then you worry, you know, is he just kind of not, well, you know what I mean, like rewriting history. Not in a serious sense this time, but you start, you know, if he'd have come out and said, oh, we weren't good at this, we weren't good at that, it just make you think, oh God, yeah, okay. A bit like the Palace game at the weekend, when he was like, oh, you know, we won because of De Bruyne's quality. So, okay, I was like, I thought you were pretty good, but fair enough. I'm just concerned that, you know, that you take your lead from Guardiola's press conference and then that's it, and your own thoughts can go out the window. You know, from my own kind of journalistic point of view, but you know, why am I justifying myself now? I was already writing the article on City doing well despite the setbacks, and then, you know, to use the time before you get chucked out of the Bernabeu because you don't get too long. And then he came in and said about, you know, we would have lost 4-1 and all that kind of stuff, and say, yeah, okay, I'm happy to stick with this line of thinking. Mm. It is like kind of comforting, if you will. But again, you know, he's not going to go into the problems too much. Definitely in terms of losing the balls, you know, he mentioned that you couldn't avoid it. And obviously he mentioned how, you know, 10 minutes to go, 3-2 up, you know, maybe they kind of thought, okay, they took the foot off the gas a bit. But again, it's what we've said before, even if they hadn't won the Champions League, Guardiola could come away from City going, well, I know the work that we've done. You know, I know how hard this has been. So I think there was just a huge element of, as he kind of kept saying about the Bernabeu, like, I know how hard this game was. And, you know, because he was asked a lot about control in Spanish as well, and he was like, look, I've told the players, if you think you're going to come here and the game plan is going to be in place for 90 minutes, you're wrong. Like, things are going to go wrong. And they probably went, I think, personally, they went more wrong than they have done at the Bernabeu in the last... of the last three games there in the last 2 years. Mm. I know you don't think that, which is interesting.
I do think it's interesting. I was going to come to this in a bit, but yeah.
But yeah, so I think he recognises how difficult that game was. He recognises the good stuff. He knows there was some bad stuff. But then again, you know, to be fair, there's the element of fixing it for next week. But also, you know, they obviously made tweaks in the game and at half time, which made them better as well. And I also think that's because they went from the very conservative away performance, which, you know, after the Sheffield United game, which obviously we've talked about at length at the time and referenced a bit during the season.
Yeah.
I wrote an article saying, like, look, if you're watching the City game and you think it's boring and not much is happening, it's like, because that's pretty much how they want it to be. Like, if you think about all the ways the City can overload a defence, if they've got, you know, if the opposition team have got a back five, they'll put six up there. If it's just four, you know, they'll put five in there. They'll have people, you know, arriving from deep. So the home game against Real Madrid last year, how often was Stones getting to the byline, you know, people getting from those spaces, running behind the defence, all these kind of things. It doesn't happen in some of these games, like Sheffield United away, like Real Madrid away, comparable situations. But they actually are. Like, they are comparable situations, because City will go there and they'll think, well, we're not going to put an extra man there because we still need to have the extra control in the middle. But what it looks like, particularly in Madrid, because there are opportunities to break, because, you know, they're not actually sitting in deep. And you can particularly see this in the first half, and particularly, I thought, in the first 15 minutes. When City attack, like, Haaland's in the middle, the wingers are wide, but then, like, this year, like last year when it was Gundogan and De Bruyne, they're like 15, 20 yards behind. And it's like, what really are you expecting to happen there? And then it all kind of comes together when they get to the final third, but it comes together much, much later than you'd expect. And, you know, we talked about the game last season when they told Bernardo, you know, don't dribble at Camavinga, you know, let them think we're inhibited and all this kind of stuff. You know, that is fully rope-a-dope. You know, it's not just go there and play short passes and don't make runs. I don't remember a City midfielder or defender running beyond the Madrid defence in three games at the Bernabeu. I don't remember it. I mean, there must have been one or two, but I don't remember. It's not what they do. They don't want to risk losing that advantage to get a goal when you might give up a goal. But at half-time, I thought Guardiola said, we actually need to take more risks. We actually need to play a bit more like our usual game. And obviously, it is a usual game for City to go to the Bernabeu and not commit men forward and play within themselves. That's perfectly normal, and it's what they do. But in terms of the more recognisable City, in terms of less of a... it was less of a performance where they were worried about what Madrid did. And considering Madrid had already done it twice and continued to do it in the first half whenever City attacked, I thought that was quite a big decision. Obviously, they put Stones even higher up. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like, okay, we're getting killed a bit here. Let's drop him back. They put Stones even higher up. They moved Guardiola more into the middle just to have more people there for that security. Bernardo was a strange one because he kept giving the ball away a lot and he kept getting caught on it when he was trying to dribble, which doesn't happen too often, certainly not as often as that. But he showed a bit more personality to take more risks and get them up there. Grealish was good throughout. And I thought all of that kind of changed to make City a bit more recognisable. Because it seemed like in the first half I just thought they were doing their usual thing of not, you know, they had an opportunity to attack, but
they turned it
because
down
because they were told to do what they don't normally do. They looked a bit unsure, even if maybe it was the game plan and they knew exactly what they were doing, but it just looked like they looked unsure about what they were doing. But at half time they definitely took steps to change that.
Yeah. So why I kind of feel a lot better about it, and why I'm kind of not really on the same page as you here, because despite the fact that they conceded more goals, I thought genuinely City controlled that game more like when I say better, I don't mean kind of like for longer, because I think last season's game they were much more in control of it because they got the game they wanted rather than the game that happened. But I think kind of in terms of personality and the way that City play, I think last night was more like a City performance than anything else I've ever seen at the Bernabeu. And when I look at it and when I watch the game, because I did it your way last night, Sam. I was late to watching the game. I avoided everything and no notifications and just watched the game. Didn't really enjoy it, I'll be honest like that, but never mind. But when I sat down and kind of watched it as it was going through, I was a lot calmer watching it than I guess I would have been live. And kind of taking a step back and watching it all, I felt really happy with the way that City were making those choices and those decisions. So when you think back to 21-22, the way that kind of performance at the Bernabeu went, City were okay, mainly out of possession in that game and mainly in their own half. Had a couple of big chances on the break to score, really should have done, then Rodrigo shocks them with two late goals. It happens. We talked about kind of how the Madrid factor came into play there. Last season they go there to kill the game. They had a lot more possession than they did the year before. They kept the ball well. They didn't really extend themselves, knowing that they had the second leg and they didn't want to allow it to get away from them. And then last night, I expected the same sort of thing. And then for large spells, they were kind of camped in the Madrid half, knocking it round and just making sure that Madrid were on the back foot for the game and not necessarily taking those risks. And then kind of they got in front, and I remember thinking as Guardiola's goal went in, like, if this finishes 3-2, they've played really well here, and like ultimately they equalise with a stunner, and I'm left there thinking, well, there's not really a huge deal City could have done better in that, and so that doesn't really affect my kind of thoughts on the performance. And then when I was listening to the commentary team, they were talking about how City were playing it too slowly in the first half and kind of not taking the risks that they need to do. And I remember thinking when it got to 3-2 and suddenly the commentary team are starting to talk about how good the tempo had been, it's like maybe the tempo's been good for a lot longer than you've been giving it credit for, you know. And so when I think of like a controlled performance, City were on the ball a lot more. They were more like their usual selves. That was more like their usual selves than they've been at any other time at the Bernabeu. And that's probably why I feel like it's one of the better performances there.
Yeah, I wonder if the confusion here between us is you're looking at it as that was the more recognisable, good City performance where they played their own game and they created chances, scored good goals, than the previous ones.
Mm.
Against when did they actually have most control?
Yes,
because I'm certain it was the last two seasons. I don't remember it being out of possession for the game 2 years ago. I remember the Bernabeu being completely quiet, City just knocking the ball around, not having any issues until the 90th minute. I don't remember it being an out of possession thing. I don't remember Madrid having good chances. I don't remember City getting lucky at any point. They controlled that game. And last year, it wasn't, they didn't play as well. They didn't play as recognisably well. Okay, so what I should say, again, this is the trap we're falling into, I think. They didn't play as eye-catchingly well as City normally do, and as they did last night when City played here a year ago. But they did play better in terms of controlling the game and making it not memorable and getting out of there without letting Madrid attack and counter-attack. And that's what they did much better in the last two games. They played a more attractive game last night. They showed a lot of characteristics which we've already talked about. They looked more like City. They looked more like the team you want City to be. But I think given the instruction that they have to have, and the fact, you know, Guardiola talks about you can't have control there for 90 minutes, I think it highlights how brilliantly they did do in the previous two seasons. Because, you know, even 2 years ago, I know, fucking hell, like the disaster happened at the end, I know. But to limit it to that was remarkable, really. And I think last season, to go down and then, you know, De Bruyne come back and it just finished 1-1 and everyone shakes hands and goes home, that would have been the outcome. And it would have been the outcome last night. But it wasn't, because City didn't do that as effectively. They didn't have the control they had in recent years. But in lieu of that, they played a more attractive game. But again, even when you say, oh, you know, to go 3-2 up, and then, okay, they scored with a good goal at the end. They scored a good goal at the end because City didn't have control. They scored a good goal because they took a long goal kick and lost a second ball. But they didn't have the control of previous seasons. I think they played a more attractive game, but maybe as a result, they didn't have the control of last season. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember the last, you know, I definitely don't remember City being more about out of possession 2 years ago, you know. Yeah, I just think it's like objective, to be fair. I just think it's fact. They had less control last night than they did in the other games. I think they did brilliantly to get the control back for long periods, but you know, they basically controlled the other two games for, well, pretty much 90 minutes, the one 2 years ago, the one last year for a lot more than last night, I would say.
Yeah,
but you know, I've not seen them recently, so
my memory of the one 2 years ago was a lot more on edge than last year and last night. So that's kind of maybe that's what clouds it. I don't know. I mean, the other side of what I thought was this is weird. But I spent a lot of watching the game last night feeling like, I actually wrote down during the game that I felt like Real Madrid playing like Stoke at home and just like breaking the game up, going down over everything, staying down, getting in the referee's ear, all of that sort of like the darker arts of football that I don't.
That's part of the Bernabeu experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but I remember like when the tie 2 years ago went to extra time, and Madrid scored the penalty that Diaz gave away. I remember thinking at that point, okay, well, nothing's going to happen now. And then Fernandinho had that chance at the back post, and that was it. But that was I don't remember that being the sort of dark arts performance from Madrid. I just remember that being a really good, okay, we're just going to manage the game now. Whereas this one, it felt like every little touch on every single forward player would leave them on the ground, rolling around, that sort of thing. And like it was another element of City controlling it and City's personality and performance in this game was that it was that Madrid were doing that to break the game up. That I felt like City were much more kind of rising above it to be able to force the opponent into doing something to slow it down and to try and get the control that they wanted.
Yeah, again, that's part of the experience as well, and I'm sure it's like, you know, when Guardiola was talking nicely about Simeone's Atletico a couple of years ago. It was like behind the scenes, he knows they're absolute fuckers, and he's telling them like, don't fall for it. You know, that's why he told the ball boys to get the balls back on the pitch as quickly as possible, because you know they'll try and kill time and all this. They need all those help, all the help they can get, and this sort of stuff. And so you know, they won't be strangers to that. Bellingham, like he was one of the worst for it.
Mm.
Although the refereeing was interesting as well, because like in terms of like the ropey early period, like when Diaz was kind of giving it away and then just stretching in to get it back, it was like this is not sustainable. Unfortunately, like it didn't have to carry on being that way. But you know, there were little nudges and stuff like that for both teams, but City got more of a benefit of it. And I'm not saying he favoured City. It was just normally it was City making those kind of last-ditch tackles or nudging people off the ball. And the ref was quite happy to let it go. But no, I just think in that sense, you know, they would know that anyway about any team they play just from, like, analysis. But, you know, Guardiola's going to know going back 30 years. That's what it's like playing in the Bernabeu.
Mm.
And, you know, from recent experience as well, that's just how it's going to be. So, I mean, it was interesting when, you know, Guardiola was asked, I think it was Guardiola was asked, or like Ancelotti was asked, I can't remember. But it was along the lines of, Real Madrid have got four players on bookings, like, are you worried that City are going to try and get them booked? And it's like, are you fucking for real? like worry about what Madrid will do? You know, because obviously these were like the home journalists, the Madrid journalists, asking these questions. It's like, do they know?
Like, they said...
that is the agenda, isn't it, to get Guardiola saying something controversial or something that could be spun as controversial. Like last night, he was asked about the roof and he was like, oh yeah, like the roof was fine. Like now Florentino needs to fix the pitch. And then obviously Chiringuito in the press conference asked Ancelotti, they were like, Guardiola was complaining about the pitch. It's like, the pitch was obviously crap.
They said on the TV commentary that a lot was made in the build-up to the game by Marca about the players on yellow cards. And then, what was it, 90 seconds, Grealish got... Well, less, wasn't it? Grealish got one of them in the book.
First minute. Yeah, well, everyone was kind of joking on Twitter as well, like, Grealish, you know what to do. These guys are on bookings kind of thing. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't even Grealish being a shit-house, was it? It was just Grealish being good, and that Tchouaméni tackle was mad. It was like that the Casemiro one I sent you from injury time in the United Liverpool game at the weekend, which in the bar afterwards last night I showed like seven people sitting around the table because somehow a room full of sports journalists had not seen the fucking Casemiro foul from the game the other day. I mean, fine, I didn't see it live either. I saw it on Match of the Day, but yeah, just an absolute lump of a tackle. Very amusing. I mean at that point, the thing is, this is the thing with away goals, and I'm happy with the away goals going away now. But City scoring within the first minute, you know, a couple of years ago, you'd be like, fucking hell, like, this is what a huge advantage this is. Like, that's it. But like, on the night, it's just like, well, it's just a goal that can easily be wiped out. Like, that extra value has gone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But again, we talked about Bernardo and the ups and downs in his performance, but that's a good way to carry it on, actually. Obviously, that first 2 minutes of contribution, you know, I didn't think he could kick it that far for a start, especially when everyone's expecting a cross. So that was a great start. But then in injury time, he had two opportunities just to kind of get the ball and literally do anything with it. And he just like booted it straight forward. It was really unusual. It was like, you know, because Alvarez had come on for Foden at that point, and Guardiola says it's just a knock with Foden.
Yeah.
So hopefully, no, he's all right. If Alvarez, in our kind of stereotypical view of Alvarez now, had started just like booting the ball forward in injury time, everyone would be calling for his head. It was so weird. Like, if I, like, people, like I said, what's Bernardo doing in injury time? And people were like, he's been doing it all game. He's been giving the ball away all game, but not stupid decisions. You can give the ball away by trying to find somebody, or you can give the ball away by trying to dribble past people like you normally do and get tackled. That can happen. But players like Bernardo don't normally give the ball away because they're trying to do something stupid.
By lumping it
I
in the air.
That was really unusual. That was really, really unusual.
That is it for the free version of Let Me Talk. There is more for members, though. Go to lmtpod.com if you want to sign up for those longer ad-free episodes. Sam, what is there for members in this one?
Yeah, what's better, having Haaland there as a threat or having Alvarez there actually making passes? What's better, Kovacic making nice little through balls or Kovacic turning around and passing to the defenders? What's better, Guardiola taking a terrible touch and shooting with his right foot or not doing that?
I think we know the answer to that one.
Yeah. I don't know, though. But then there's loads of other stuff as well. Guardiola's comments on Foden were hilarious. We look at that. The fact that all that stuff we've talked about in the first 3 hours did it without De Bruyne, and they thought they were going to have De Bruyne until like an hour before kickoff. How do they do that? And yeah, back to the reality of the title race, Luton, maybe Rodri getting a rest, other players getting a rest, what it all means, three-horse title races, Liverpool dropping points, all of that stuff. Loads extra.
Yeah, that is all for members. Find out more on lmtpod.com on how to join. The free versions of Let Me Talk will be stopping at the end of April, so becoming a member will be the only way to listen to the show after that. It's only £2 a month or £20 for the whole year. You'll get 2 months free there. If you're listening to the free version now, get over to lmtpod.com for all the information on how you can sign up.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.